Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
In the middle of our series of a primer, and it's just kind of an update on discerning God's will, particularly as we think of the new year, is we all have a lot of thoughts about, what's ahead and what should our year be like and where should we put our attention? And interesting enough, it actually is learning to live day by day.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's within themes, you know, of things like people are looking at jobs or looking at moving or looking at church situations or ministry situations. There are always some kind of, I think, big ideas of based on what happened last year. You know, what am I to do? Start looking at, you know, next year, which, by the way, and this will be true for a lot of our audience, is as we evaluate last year, one of the things, you know, there's a couple simple questions that we always keep asking. Number one, are you enjoying life? And life is, as we set it up, it's to enjoy your work. And work is just what you occupy every day. So even a housewife or somebody that, you know, I don't get income for work, but I serve church or I do this.
Right.
Yep. What do you enjoy? That's still work. Are you enjoying it? And number two, am I enjoying my marriage and my relationships if I'm single, where I have plenty of margin and I'm building the strength of that relationship? And am I enjoying that? Am I enjoying, if I have children, am I enjoying my children or my grandchildren? Am I enjoying where I'm serving God in ministry or church or activity? And then are we... We usually is you and your spouse, your family, your friend. Are we having good fellowship and building community and enjoying the things of life that we enjoy? Like, for example, Linda and I, we were actually just talking about this weekend, about this next year. And we talked about, you know, doing less work, enjoying travel, more travel even can be local. Just exploration of just taking some time off. And those are things that thrill us. And so we talked about how do we get in a position to do those kind of things.
Right. And to be able to do them, because I'm going to point out, you can fit them in your schedule, no problem.
Yeah.
Right. But to be able to fit them in your schedule in a place of joy.
Yeah.
Where when you're going from one thing to the next, even it's not this dread that I've got one more thing to do, even if it's something you like. And that's a real indicator when you're overscheduled, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the interesting questions. I've got some people, you know, that are going through that exercise, and it's being driven about things that their church would like them to be part of. And I say, first of all, you know, it's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It has to be God's thing.
Right.
And if you're called to do something new, and I always start out with, before we get to that thought, are you enjoying life today?
Right.
And do you have margin today? Because if you don't have margin today and you're not enjoying today, adding another good thing is actually going to make it worse. This is what you're trying to suggest is that, so before we go that direction, let's look at my current life and how do I structure that so that I enjoy life with margin? Because remember, God said, I need to keep pruning you back. I want you to relax. I want you to rest. I want you to have space. By the way, I don't want you to do nothing. So it's not like going to be a monk, but rather, by the way, monks actually had to work anyway. So, it's about, let me get that in sync. And then if I'm being asked to do something new, I have to say, God, is that your will? Yes. If it's your will, by definition, I have to take something off.
Right.
Because he says, that's what you suggested is, it's not about adding. Yeah, I could fit it in. But it's does God say, how does he want me to live? And his will, is he really critical to that?
Right.
You know, what am I a part of? How am I enjoying life? And then the thoughts and the issues of life should be coming out of that. yeah, I'm really enjoying a lot. How do I stay there given that things are going to be dynamic and what I'm involved in is going to grow? Just like, for example, our ministry, it's really growing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not about Linda and I doing more. It's then where do we put our priorities as right. we then recruit others to join us? And they have priorities, which we've done. And we have Scott Cornell is now being a director, and he's taking a lot of the administrative work. Bob Rockwell is doing a lot of the retreat stuff set up. Mm-hmm. Our leaders are, you know, engaging. We have a marketing person. That's all changed this year because God said, hey, right. it's going to get ready to grow. Rich, I want you to
do
less. And
it doesn't need to all be on you.
I want you to actually do less of this and prioritize over here, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
While you do that, do not lose your sweet spot of life with you and your wife and mm-hmm. you and what you're up to. So that I have to readjust it. And that's what the pruning process is all about.
Right, right.
Cutting back.
Yeah. It's interesting, even as you say that, I was in a conversation with a couple the other day, and you and I are both high capacity people.
Yeah.
And so this resonates so greatly with us in terms of prune. This particular person, as a couple, their personality type is they so love to just be home and just have bandwidth that they can go the other way and say no to things that God is calling them to out of like a selfish protection of certain things, just because that is what they enjoy instead of letting God lead that balance. And so it was interesting having the conversation because I always think of it as one direction, but really what we're talking about is surrender in yes. all of it so that God puts us in the places where he is working and that work is fruitful and we're joining the fruitful work, not the work that is, you know, necessarily just all what is thrown in front of us, even if it's good. And then also that we don't stand back from joining him out of laziness or out of just, you know, not wanting to change the pattern of what you're doing and missing out on the beauty of what he's inviting you into. So it
right.
can actually work both directions,
that's
which
right.
I never think about because it's not my personality type. But it was a great conversation, a good reminder that it comes from all angles. It really is all about surrender, right?
Right, yeah. And the aspect of that is that, remember, it's not I have to join a committee, I have to join a program, I have to join something. It's rather that because of where I'm at in life, I'm going to be associated with people around me that God says I'm going to have you involved with them in some mm-hmm. way, which could be church stuff, but it could be maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your grandkids, maybe it's friends, maybe
right.
it's business people. Hey, you know what?
And
I'd
it's
like you to get
to you because that's
like
the sphere he's put you in, right?
Yeah, yeah. We have an executive that I've been working with discipling, and I have a group. He's part of a group that we meet with, and it's all about just walking with God, learning to walk with God, hear his voice, and they're enjoying it very much. And he came to the group and said, I have a few people that I think I'd like to invite. And we said, well, let's go seek God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And we processed it out and talked it out. And the answer came back is, actually, this isn't about you inviting them to this group. It's you starting another group.
Right.
And it was like, okay, then it's kind of what you're suggesting is that, he said, well, my life is, pretty much in sync. And, oh, okay. So then we talked about and said, okay, mm-hmm. now why don't you start to process that relative to the enjoyment you have in your life? Because if this is of something of God, he'll show you how to maintain that.
Right.
And do both because I am calling you to that, mm-hmm. and so. Okay. So he did. And we talked about what would it look like and what would you have to do differently? And so he invited, he said, okay, I'm going to invite two of these people to see if we could start a new group. And by the way, I'm going to assist him because I can do the time, and it had to fit my schedule as well. And while he did that, two other people came along. So now he's got four people.
Wow. Excellent.
To start. And he recognizes I don't have to do anything. I just need to gather them. I need to get them into the Word of God. I need to mm-hmm. teach them. And we said, what do you think would be the most important thing to teach them up front?
Right.
He said, hearing God's voice.
Yep.
I said, that's exactly right. Let's go teach them that, And
that's so good.
And so he'll have a great time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll have to shuffle what he's up to so he doesn't lose the joy of his life. But God says, hey, I am inviting you
right.
to give it away. And remember, covenant is always flow through. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. So it's mm-hmm. never to just make sure I never have to do anything.
Right, right.
It's rather to enjoy life.
Now, and remembering, even as you say that, just remembering that pruning principle isn't just pruning things that aren't fruitful, but it is pruning good things. you know, that whole pruning, sometimes things that are really good do get pruned to make room for what God wants to do that is best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. You know, and I just remind, I think I've told this story, but when I was active with Henry Blackaby and Richard Blackaby, it was a privilege and honor. And for me, I'm part of these guys who are big shots, you know, and wow, isn't that fun? You know, I get to be part of these big shots. And when the ministry started growing, God said, you got to end that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but how about if I just reduce? he said, no, you got to end that. And it's a great thing. We were having great both impact, and it was joy for me. All of it was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but God said, well, yeah, but my path for you is different. And you got to take a really, really good thing and let me prune it off. By the way, it's not going to stop that good thing that they're active in.
Right, right.
But what you're going to be part of is going to be different, and it's going to be a good thing for that. But
and trust me with it.
And kind of what we're setting is if you try to shoehorn that in, you're going to get zipped. You're going to lose everything that you're part of. And don't look at how come I got to give up this good thing. You're not. You're just moving to my path, which is still going to be a good thing.
Right, right. In fact, the best thing, right? So
the best, yeah.
Learning and to trust that.
You made a statement, you know, I don't think you even realized you made a statement, but it's all, if we're going to follow God's will, we have to surrender our will.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the topic of today. So.
Oh, well, perfect.
So as we pursue God's will, we always have to enter it with a surrender of my will, which then I'm open to all of your will, not I'll evaluate whether I want to do it or not. It's really, I truly surrender
right.
my will. So let's look at a really good story here. Matthew 16, 13 all the way to 20, a little bit long, 28, but it's kind of important to walk through it. Matthew 16, 13 to 28.
Sure. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. One more, right? Sorry. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Yeah, which, by the way, is the resurrection and the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is God brought the kingdom now into life, and it's going to be operating through us. So it's kind of cool. But there's an interesting statement he made that, first of all, we got to look at. They said, well, you're the Christ, you know, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, don't tell anybody about that. Okay, so think about that. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? What was he saying there? See, and it's this, and it's still true, by the way. I don't want you to tell people about me. I want you to be me. And that's what Paul says, that the mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are the physical representative of the invisible Christ, of the invisible God.
I love that.
And Jesus, he wound up obviously expressing who God was and who he was, but it wasn't, oh, I'm going to tell you about me. I'm going to have you experience me.
Mm-hmm.
And as you experience me, you're going to say, well, who are you? Or what is it? Well, it's because I'm God and I want to demonstrate God through supernatural work and through my work. That so, boys, I don't want you to be burdened by you got to tell people about me. Just start living it out. And people will be interested in knowing who we are. Don't worry. So he said, don't put the focus on proclaiming me, put the focus on living me. And it's kind of a cool thing. And he said the church would actually be better served if we had more people reflecting the life of God than telling people about the life of God that doesn't seem to resonate with my life.
That's so true. I mean, we see that every day, right? I think people who are truly walking in the kingdom reflect God's presence everywhere they go, and people are drawn, and you have a platform to then speak truth and life and to lead others to what you're experiencing. When right. you are just sitting and droning on about something you're not experiencing, nobody's impassioned by that. Right. Nobody really is questioned. They may gain knowledge, but they don't feel a draw to be pulled into that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how our ministry has grown all the way from the beginning of, it wasn't you go and have another great Bible study. Mm-hmm. It was what we experienced changed our life. We began to hear God's voice. We began to follow his will. We began to see the covenant. And people said, well, is that possible for me? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. And we would work on it. And interesting enough, and this is true, even when people either buy the courses or they get to the retreat for the first time, they actually don't even know what they're coming to.
Right.
It's just, I heard that I'm gonna receive a different way of living, and I want to learn. I would like to learn that. Why?
Right.
People are sharing and observing the life, not telling them about it. They could see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christ said. So who do I say that I am? Well, you're this or that. Well, who do you say that? You know, who do you guys say I am? Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon this proclamation that has been revealed to you. And basically it's saying you can hear God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
You can trust and have faith. And based upon that faith of God's will,
right.
I'm going to build my church, which will lead you to authority.
Mm-hmm.
You can bind off the power of the enemy, and you can proclaim and bring, declare and experience the power of heaven, the Spirit, and the power of the angelic. And I'm going to build my church upon that. Again, mm-hmm. which is experiencing. That's why he said, don't build the church on just telling people about me. I want you to build the church on living the life that I'm giving you. And you can see it. It's hearing God's right. voice and following God's voice and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Hey, Peter, fantastic. You're the most spiritual guy there is because you got that. Oh, by the way, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to my death. I'm going to suffer. I will be resurrected. And Peter's response to that was what?
No way, not on my watch.
Yeah, I will never, he said, I'll never let that happen to you. Partly, by the way, out of his paradigm of, remember, what did he think and the disciples think the Messiah meant?
Hey, yeah, they had this picture of an earthly king, right?
Of an earthly king. By the way, that's going to become true. The millennium will be Christ ruling with the Jews and with us, that we will actually have rulership on earth with Christ physically being here. He'll fulfill that piece of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the primary piece. It was the kingdom
right.
spiritually, and you're going to walk with me, and you're going to be the physical representative of the invisible God. And by the way, for me to do that, I have to solve the problem of man's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go to death and take on the penalty of that. And then I'll satisfy the requirement of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, I'll live the resurrected life, and you'll be able to follow me in the resurrected life. And he says, I'll never let that happen to you because of it doesn't fit my paradigm.
Right.
Okay. Jesus's response was, get behind me what?
Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah. He said, you've just gone from the most spiritual person there is
mm-hmm.
to following Satan. Mm-hmm. And he describes why. Because you don't have the things of God in mind, but the things of what?
Of man.
Of man. Why you've decided out of a good thought,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to protect you. Isn't that a good idea?
Right.
It's kind of in line with what we started our session with today, was good things, if they're not God's things, actually are actually following the enemy.
Right. Which is hard for us to get our head around, right?
Yeah.
But we see it so clearly, and it's interesting even as we think about that, just that whole picture of what it is to truly surrender and truly die to self. Because I think Peter is so relatable in this passage. If we're honest with ourselves, we can in 1 minute be fully surrendered, everything for you, God, I am asking you and taking the step, and then turn around and 2 seconds later, something shifts our head, shifts our focus, and we are all in, stepping right out of the kingdom immediately. And if Jesus were standing right in front of us, we would get a "get behind me, Satan," you know?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And we do it all the time.
Yeah. And if we ask Peter, you know, what are you thinking? He says, well, isn't what I'm thinking a really good thing?
Right.
A matter of fact, I think it's spiritual and holy, and I'm going to stand up, you know, for what I believe is true. And why isn't that a good thing? And God says, well, there's an issue with that. And hey, son, you forgot something. And what I want to do is say, come back next Monday. And we're going to talk about what was it that flipped it from a good idea to get behind me, Satan. And why is it that so? And what did Peter forget? And what was then God? And he goes on to explain, actually, well, you got to follow a little bit different thought. Mm-hmm. And it's really critical. So as we're discerning God's will, we have to move past this point.
Right.
And that is, I have a really good idea of what I think I should be doing. And I want to follow God, and I want to do godly things, and I want to be a good follower of Christ. But he says, if you come up with your own plan, you're going to fail.
Right.
And actually, your own plan is going to wind up following into the hands of the enemy instead of me, of God speaking. Mm-hmm. I have a will which may be different than your plan. And so we're going to talk about that. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses that are they're actually clear, and we just don't quite understand them, and we don't tend to live them out. And so we pray that we'll understand what is it that Peter missed, and how do we not miss it so that we can follow you into your plan, which is best and none better. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing. I'm looking forward to the next episode of this. I think it's going to be really good. And even talking people through, if they have missed, what does it look like to step right back in? You know, because I think that's a beautiful part of the gospel, right?
Yeah. And make sure that you bring that up.
Okay.
Because that's an important piece of, well, maybe I haven't been following God's will.
Right. Absolutely.
What does that mean? And how do I do it now? And is there complications with that? And let's make sure we pursue that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, everyone. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.